Yeah. I didn't recognize you. Without the ginger beard on there, I didn't recognize you. Praise God. Well, you might not remember, but when Teen Challenge first started in January last year, you were the first person that we met and brought back on the way. In fact, Andrew spotted you outside the French Gate Centre, and we took you back up to the bus that was on Thorn Road, as was then. Yeah, and when we went transferred into Christchurch, who did we find? You again, and you're one of the first into Christchurch. So God's got something for you.
Amen.
God's got something for you. Praise God. Yeah, we had the privilege this morning of going to Leeds. After much searching, we found the place. And it was tremendous because people there were giving the testimony of how their lives had been transformed. And I'm talking about people that had years and years locked into drugs and drink.
Wow.
And they'd really got to the bottom of things. They're on rock bottom.
Yeah.
And the chap that ministered today, he brought such an encouragement word as well. But something that the other week, Andrew and Grace were ministering, and I put something together, in case they needed something else. And it really fits in so well today for what I've heard this morning. And the title is, You Can Make a Difference.
Amen.
You can make a difference to your life. You can make a difference to other people's lives.
Yeah.
And quite often when you make a difference to your own life, you do make a difference to other people's lives as well. In John 3:16, it says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him won't die, won't perish, but they'll have everlasting life. He gave the ultimate of himself. He made a difference to himself. You know, if Jesus had a choice. When he came, he came because the Father asked him, and he came willingly.
Yeah.
And he came completely. He made a difference to himself. He made a difference to his own destiny.
He did.
But in doing so, he made a difference to us.
Yeah.
Every single one of us has been touched by God, has been touched by Jesus. Sometimes we might not have realized it, but Jesus has touched every single one of us. We've met people over this last 18 months we would never get a chance to meet. In our church now are people that God is touching.
Thank you.
That's ministering to.
Thank you.
Why? Because he loves you.
Yeah.
He loves every single one of you.
Yeah.
And you don't have to put on a posh shirt and a tie like I've got on.
No.
It looks good on the outside, but that tells you nothing of what's inside.
Yeah.
But you see, the thing that Jesus can do, he can see right through that.
Yeah.
He can see right through the clean shirts and the posh suits and all that. He can see the heart that's inside.
Yeah.
Because that's what Jesus wants to reach.
Yeah.
He's not interested in the gloss. He's not interested in the gloss paint and the painted surfaces and all this.
Yeah.
He's interested in what's really inside us.
Thank you.
And he says his love goes right down to the depths of our heart.
Yeah.
There's nowhere where we can go that we can't get out of his sight. We can't get away from him.
No.
One of the things that the preacher said this morning, and it rings through eternity.
Yeah.
Two things that you need to know. One is there's power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Two, there is power in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, we've got trouble when we use the word name. Because to us, we think of a label that we give to somebody. don't we? We think, so-and-so, oh, that, yeah, that's their name. When Jesus, when we said the name of Jesus, we're saying it's the person of Jesus.
Yeah, amen.
Right? There's power in the person of Jesus. For you and for me.
Yeah.
In everything that we do, everything we think, everything we feel, every circumstance we go through,
yeah,
there is power in the person of Jesus. And he poured out his blood for us.
Yeah.
He says, there's power in my blood.
Yeah.
There's power in the blood of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus cleanses us, sets us free, heals us, delivers us, gives us new life. You know, we could play at being religious. And a lot of churches do that.
Yeah.
But there comes a time when we've got to start being real.
Absolutely.
You know, we looked at the church in Leeds there. I don't know, there were 200 odd people. It were full to the gunnels. And this was the second service this morning, which we had aimed to go to the first one. But we didn't find the place. But we were in the second service, which I feel probably was the service we needed to be in. And they started bringing people to tell us and to tell the people what God had done.
Yeah.
And it brought them from the brink of death. It brought them out of death, of darkness. One of the illustrations that the preacher used, that anybody, if you've got a house, then you've got a cellar that's below ground level. You'll go down there and switch the light off. It's generally very, very dark. No light at all, quite often. But if you had a little candle, you'd light up that cellar.
Yeah.
The darkness can't stay when the light comes in. It can be a small light, but the darkness can't stay. And this is what Jesus is saying to you today. Jesus is saying, light a candle in your life for Jesus.
Yeah.
That spark that starts off will start to remove the darkness from around you that's over all your life.
Yeah.
You might feel that you've got to the rock bottom and there's no way back. People might say, well, you know, you've been like this so long, you'll always be like this. One of the people this today, he's 45 years old, and he's a new person. He was years locked in drugs, locked in drink, and as far as he was concerned and those around him, there was no hope. But Jesus got hold of him. In fact, Jesus would have been there with him long before he realised. But there came a day when this man, I don't know whether he'd just got to the farthest point he could get, and he couldn't get any further, and he turned to Jesus and cried out to help for Jesus to help him. And Jesus started to turn his life round. Now there's no just magic thing that's going to get everything all right just like that. He had to make a decision to come to Jesus. He had to make that decision. Jesus wasn't going to twist his arm and make him. But when he made the decisions, things started to happen. Things started to come together. And Jesus started to work things through for him.
Yeah.
And he actually went in through the Teen Challenge program. And it's not an easy program. It's not an easy thing to work through. You talk to the ones that are in it. And have been through it. It's not an easy thing. The ones that have gone through it have had to show some courage and some stickability.
Mm.
I mean, these things, they can be there for a year, 2, 3 years. I think 2.5 years, I think one of them went for there. But they come out the other end.
Mm.
And they don't get the life back. They get a new life.
Amen.
They don't want the old back.
No.
It's dead and gone. They get a new life. We're seeing this happen. As a church, we're seeing this happen.
Yeah.
Every single one of you. You know, the fact that you're here, the fact that you spend time in the back, afterwards, and we meet together, we talk together, we pray together, we share together.
Yeah.
And God's starting to move.
Yeah. Amen.
He's starting to move in this church in a real way. There might not be a lot of us. Mm. You know, they're telling us at Leeds there's, I think there might be 500 in their church.
Mm.
But I think three quarters of a million that live in Leeds. Some. And they're saying that 96% don't know Jesus.
Yeah.
So while you feel you're in a big church there, it's a drop in the ocean.
Yes. Yes.
Now we're like a beacon on a hill.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking out and we're seeing so many problems around us, and we've never been able to touch those problems. We've been isolated from them. Not that we wanted to be. But now we've a chance to make a difference.
Yeah.
We've a chance to make a difference to those around us.
Yeah.
You know, you in the work situation where you are, God's got a work for you to do.
Yeah.
I know, like Philip, he works in so many different places in a year,
yeah.
He must get dizzy.
Yeah.
You know, but the contacts he has, just on a daily basis, the number of people that he meets. So God's got a work for every single one of us.
Yeah.
But it starts with us changing. I've been religious, me, for years. I was brought up a Methodist, so I know what it was like to have a hymn and a prayer, a hymn and a reading, a hymn and a prayer, and a hymn and a sermon.
Yeah.
And then all over in an hour or somebody starts looking at the watch. I know what it's like doing that. I don't know what it's like to sing hymns and not even know what I'm singing because my mind's on something else. I've told you that before. We start waking up and saying, God's real. God's somewhere. Let's get out of being religious.
Amen.
Let's get real and find out what's happening. It's a culture shock.
It's
frightening at times. Because you're put in situations, you might be put in situations at work where you're shoved in a corner. Oh, he's a Christian, him. But you'll find quite often that because you've made yourself known as a Christian, when trouble comes, you're the one that the gutter. Because nobody else understands. Because they're all in the same boat. But Jesus is making a difference. I asked the question, why us? Why us? It starts off with a willingness.
Yeah.
You've got to be willing to let God do something.
Yeah.
I mean, I like a comfortable seat. I like to be able to sit down and let somebody else do whatever's... Mm. You know, it's nice that. It's easy. But I want to see God moving.
Yeah.
And I'm not confident in a lot of things. But if you can get hold of something of what God's doing and where he's wanting to take us, then we start just putting our toe in the water and say, all right, we'll try that. We'll try that. And sometimes we might not get it right. It might go a bit haywire at times. We've seen problems crop up. But I feel that it's the right time. Now is the right time. You know, Andrew and Graham, they did a teen challenge training thing years ago. How many years ago? Years? Yeah. And I knew, I'd heard about teen challenge in America. I didn't really know it were in this country, but I think they went down to London, didn't you? It somewhere, and that was it. Everything went quiet then for years. A couple of years ago, Teen Challenge Leeds had a vision to come into Doncaster. They'd already established in Leeds. That vision then it linked in with us and the vision that Andrew and Graham had years and years ago. So things started coming together. Right time. Right place.
Yeah.
Doncaster's been a famine land.
Mm.
And you know, along all this process, we've had to weather some storms.
Yeah.
And we still weather storms. I mean, there's a natural one going on outside this afternoon. The one yesterday as well, a big one. But things, we're starting to see things happen.
Right.
We're starting to see some reality.
Amen.
We are climbing out of our comfort zone.
Yes.
We like to come back into it quite a lot. But thing is, we are climbing out of the comfort zone. Our past has gone. We can't do anything about the past. But we can do something about our future.
Amen.
Every single one of you, we've all got a past.
Yeah.
Right? But God's not looking at our past. Jesus looks at our future.
Amen.
He looks at our potential.
Mm.
If you've been on drink for years, you've been on drugs for years or whatever, that's not your future.
Amen.
That's your past.
That's it.
And
God,
I'm telling you now, Jesus can break your future. I can bring witnesses to prove it.
Yeah. Amen.
John is one.
Mm.
He can tell you, he can testify to you that Jesus has turned his life around. He's giving him a future.
Amen.
He's cut off the past. And he's got a future. Why? Because he made a decision.
Yes.
He made a decision.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
And that's where it all starts for you.
Yeah.
You make a decision.
Yeah.
I want Jesus to be my future. I don't want drink to be my future. I don't want drugs to be my future. I don't want to be living my life at rock bottom.
No.
I want a future. In Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 12, it says, Jesus considered me faithful, putting me into service. But then it says, even though formerly I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, and I was aggressive.
Wow.
That's Timothy. God had given him a future. Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yeah.
I can do all things.
Yeah.
You know, Paul had a problem about his past.
Yeah.
He'd done some awful things, and in the name of religion as well.
Yeah.
And he had got at one stage, Philippians 3 verse 13, it says, forgetting what lies behind, he says, I press on towards the goal, towards the high calling of God. He saw that he'd got a future.
Yeah.
And he wasn't going to be locked into the past.
Yeah.
Matthew 19, verse 26 says, with men, it's impossible.
Mm.
But with God, all things are possible.
Thank
so
you.
If you think it's impossible for you to change, you think it's impossible for you to get locked, for you to come out of your past into a glorious future, then you're wrong. I'll tell you now, Jesus is right.
Yeah.
And Jesus is telling you exactly that.
Mm.
That you can have a future.
Thank
a real
God.
Future. In Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 it says, don't lean on your own understanding.
No.
Don't try and work it all out. Because
no.
You'll never be able to do it.
Right.
You can't explain scientifically how a person can be delivered. Now Jesus can deliver a person from drug addiction and bring him into a new life. You can't understand scientifically how that can happen. But I'll tell you, Jesus has got the formula to change you, to change your life. Jesus has got the formula. He's got your future in his hands if only you will put your future in his hands. He's got a good future for every single one of you. You know, we can come to you and we can love you. We can help you. But if you refuse to be helped, it's your choice.
Mm.
And Jesus will never take that choice away from you.
Yeah.
But Jesus is holding out his hand in love. In fact, he's pouring out his life for you so that you will come to him and you will accept Jesus as your Saviour. Because that's what it's all about. We're not coming here to be happy-clappy. We're coming here because we believe that Jesus has a future for us. And he has a future for every single one of you as well. No matter who you are, no matter what situation you're in, Jesus loves you and he wants you. And he wants you to have a good future. He doesn't want you to get locked up in things that's going to control your life. He wants you to be set free. He wants you to have a life of real freedom. You know, I know you say, well, I'm all right, I've got this freedom. But when you look at it, you're locked in a prison. And so often we lock ourselves in a prison and think it's freedom. Because we get to the point where we don't know any different. But when you turn your life over to Jesus, you know, we've seen life change that seemed impossible. People turned around. And things happening time-wise where people have been brought to other people just at the right time for the right encouragement. You know, just... And you think, well, we couldn't organise that as good as that. But Jesus knows. He just knows how to do it. How to bring them together. You'll think you're here today possibly just by chance. You've perhaps just wandered in or somebody's told you about us and you've just come. I asked you a question. Why today? Why today? Of all the days in the year, all the Sundays in the year, why today? Because this is your appointed time.
Amen.
Jesus is speaking to you today to get your life turned around, to get your life changed, because he loves you. He loves you. And it's not a sloppy love. It's not a sloppy love. It's the love that says, I want the best for you. I want the best I can give you. Jesus is telling you that. And he's the one that owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the gold in every mine. And he's saying, I want you to be mine. I want you to get your life, a real life, a life with a future, a life that will bring you contentment, a fulfilling life, and a life where you can reach out to others. You know, the time when somebody was reaching out to John, sorry to use you again, John, but there were times when somebody was reaching out to John. Now John has the privilege of being able to reach out to others. You know, John never wanted to go through all he went through, but God's brought him. He's put him on the back on the potter's wheel. You heard that the other day. Put him back on the potter's wheel. And he's remoulded him. Made him into a new vessel. And God's given him a tremendous ministry. And he's unique. John is unique. And it's brilliant. God's touching him. And he's going to touch your lives as well. And it starts with a decision. You need to make a decision in your heart. And it's not one you just could have met like that and then turn away and walk away from it. You need to make a considered decision within your heart. You might know the religious jargon, you might know how to behave in church, but Jesus is looking at your heart and he's looking to see a real decision made within your heart, to change, to bring you out of the darkness into the light. He wants to see you just like that flicker of a light and see the darkness disappear from around you. He's giving you a chance even today just to start on that journey. Some of you know about Teen Challenge. If that's the avenue you know, you need to be looking to. But God's after turning your life around in any circumstances. You know, without Teen Challenge. You know, we can get locked into all sorts of prisons. And often it's our own making. Sometimes circumstances push us into certain things and we make bad decisions. We all make bad decisions. There isn't a person alive that hasn't made a wrong decision at some time. But God's there for us. Every single one of us. Why? Because He loves us. He loves us so much that He went to the cross voluntarily. You know, when you think, the God of all creation, He had all the vastness of all space and time, and He became obedient, could come down to this little earth to love, to show us just how much He loves us. And even on the earth, millions of people, yeah, He come to us individually, you and me, in our circumstance. You know, the time when we're on our own, nobody else is around, and the things go through our mind and through our spirit. You know, you ask the questions, why am I here? Why is this happening to me? What's happening around here? And where am I going? And Jesus cares. Mm. And He cares enough to make a difference.
Thank you, Lord.
And all we ask is a willingness from us. A willingness. We've started to show a willingness. We're trying to get out of the past and into the future, where God wants us to be. Moving from religion into being real. Getting out of our comfort zone. And getting hold of Jesus in a real way. Because we can make a difference. You can make a difference to your life. You can make a difference to the lives of those around you. Those you work with, those you live with, those you meet. You can make a difference. And you make a difference when Jesus is in the formula. Like the preacher this morning again. I'll finish with this. There is power in the person of Jesus.
Amen.
And that means power for your life. Power to get out of the circumstance you're in. Power to deliver you. Power to set you free.
Yeah.
There is power in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
That's power to heal you. Power to heal. Heal relationships. Heal physical diseases. Jesus has given us that. I just ask you now, just take it on board, not because I'm saying it, but because it's real. Jesus loves you. And if you go out with nothing else today, remember that Jesus loves you, and there is power in Him. There's no power in anybody else. You'll not get answers in a works program, you'll not get answers in a bottle or in a needle. You'll get answers from Jesus.
Amen.
And He is the only answer. Like Grace said earlier, I don't know whether you caught that. Whatever your question is, Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
Jesus is the answer. Amen.